Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Town. So good.
Is this on?
I love church. I love Jesus. I love being in the presence of God. But this morning, it just really hit me. In Matthew chapter 25, talks about the parable of the 10 virgins. And they were getting ready for their wedding day. And what they did in order to wait for their groom to show up is they went and they bought oil. 5 of them out of the 10 went and bought oil. And the groom showed up a little bit late for what they had thought. And the 5 that bought oil were still prepared. They were still ready. And look, we don't have to go and buy oil per se at the store right now. And really what this story was talking about was them preparing to meet with Jesus and paying the price to meet with Jesus and being prepared when he showed up. Look, this morning, can I encourage you? What we're doing in praise and worship is we're buying oil. What we're doing is we're chasing after Jesus. And this morning, I want to challenge you. Don't just let it be a normal worship set where we do our 3 songs and we go home. No, no, that's not what it's about. It's about seeing Jesus. It's about encountering Jesus. It's about chasing after him with everything that we have because he gave everything that he was for us. So this morning, I want to challenge you. Buy that oil. Make a purchase this morning. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you're going to get out of your seat and that's like, wait, man, this is a big purchase. I got up out of my seat. Maybe you're going to surrender all in worship. Maybe you're just going to go to another level. I don't know what it looks like for you, but here's what I know. Luke chapter 1, verse 53 says this. The hungry he has filled with good things, but the rich he has sent away empty. It's not talking about money. That's talking about our desire for Jesus. Look, if we're content with how much we have, then that's how much we're going to have, and it's only going to dwindle. But when we're hungry for Jesus, you know what the truth is? We're going to be filled with good things. I want to be a house that's hungry for Jesus. I want to be a place that's hungry for Jesus. So can we lift our hands, and can we buy that oil? Can we get hungry today? Can we go another level? Can we go a little bit deeper today and really get after what Jesus has laid up for us? Amen. Father, I pray in this place, you move in a mighty way. Lord, in a fresh way. Not like last week, which was great, but like this week, what you have for us today. Lord, we're hungry for you. We desire you. So we're here to run after you. In the name of Jesus. If you're hungry, can I hear the loudest amen I've ever heard in my life? Amen. Come on, let's worship. Come on, let's worship. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, if I find favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart's cry. I'm desperately waiting to be. Across the hottest desert, I travel near or far for your glory. I would do anything just to see you, to behold you as my. Find favor in your sight, Lord, please, please hear me, hear my heart's cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are. I cross the hottest desert, I travel near or far. Do, I would do anything. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory. just to see you, to behold you as my King for your glory. I would do anything just to see. Behold you as my King. Hallelujah.
Change everything. Jesus, you change.
his right hand pleasures forevermore. So, Father, I thank you that as we continue this service in your presence, we'll continue in the fullness of joy. Just because worship's over doesn't mean his presence is gone. No, we're going deeper. And pleasures forevermore. So, Father, I thank you that your word is going to teach us today how to continue in the fullness of joy and how to obtain those pleasures forevermore that you've promised, how to remain in your presence. So, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for showing up in this place and meeting us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, if you're excited about him, if you're excited about service, if you love him, will you lift up a shout in this place? Hey, we're going to transition to the rest of our service, but I want to encourage you, we're going to put a couple minutes on the clock, and this is a family church, all right? Don't be a snob. I know that you came here for Jesus, but guess what? He created his church also for community. So please, get out of your seat, find somebody that you don't know, reconnect with somebody you might not have seen in a little bit, take a couple minutes and love on somebody as you make your way back to your seat this morning. If you see somebody alone, make sure you say hi to them. Church should be the place that they reconnect.
How's it going? Well,
anyways, please take your seats and get ready for the upcoming announcements.
What would you do if you knew the exact amount of time you had left?
Help me.
Would it push you? Would it terrify you? Or would it move you?
I do not know.
According to recent statistics, one person dies every 12 seconds in the U.S. Think about it. That means, by the conclusion of this video, five people will have already entered into eternity.
These are really small.
Do you know where you will spend it? How about your parents, your grandparents, your friends, and teachers? We need to have a passion birthed within us to be soul-driven and an urgency to fill heaven and empty hell. The time is now. A generation is waiting. There's no time left to waste. We are the ones.
This year, for the first time ever, we are hosting a vacation Bible school. This is going to be super exciting, super fun, and I want to invite you to bring your kids, your aunt's kids, your cousin's kids, and your next door neighbor's kids. Sign up at histabernacle.com/VBS. Also, if you would like a chance to volunteer, go to the His Kids check-in desk and find out how you can be a volunteer that week.
Hey, His Tabernacle family, we want to make sure you know about Next Steps classes. Don't be like Jake here. It's time to grow up. Listen, Tuesday nights, 7 p.m., right here at Horseheads and Mansfield campuses. Wednesday mornings, 9 a.m. at the Horseheads campus. And then Thursday nights at 6 p.m. at Horseheads and Ithaca campuses. Join the Next Steps class today.
Good morning, His Tabernacle family. Are you wondering how you can be fully launched into the plan that God has for you to produce the most fruit you can for the kingdom? Well, we have an amazing class that takes place every Sunday morning at every campus, and it is called Growth Track. You can find it at Horseheads at 9:30, and you can find it in Ithaca and Mansfield at 9:45. In Growth Track, you will learn the vision of His Tabernacle Family Church, and you'll also be able to discover what God can really do through you so that you can produce fruit for the kingdom that will never end, never cease in every season. You will discover truly what God can do through you, so join today.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. Happy Sunday, everybody. You all look marvelous today. What a beautiful church family that we have. I am so excited to be here today. We want to welcome you to His Tabernacle. We want to welcome our online family. If you are tuned into live stream, we love you. We are your family, and we're here for you. We thank you for being with us today. And let me just do me a favor. If this is your very first time at His Tabernacle Family Church, you've never, ever, ever stepped through the doors before, please raise your hand. We don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to, I see some hands. We have a gift for you. We have a very special gift for you to take home. And we want you to come back. We want you to be here. Come and visit us. We know that it can be a little strange. We're not necessarily a traditional style worship here, although it's becoming more and more traditional. But some people may have experienced something we like to call white knuckle disease, which is something that I had my first time I came to His Tabernacle Family Church. And that is where you grip the back of the chair in front of you so tightly because you're so freaked out and your knuckles turn white. But we want you to know that you're going to be okay. Everybody turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to be all right. And look at if there's someone that, if you don't have a guest sitting next to you, why not? Why aren't you inviting everybody you know to His Tabernacle Family Church? Somebody invited you. I'm standing here because somebody invited me. And we want to do that favor to everybody we know because we know, I don't know about you, but I love my church. And we have some great tools that you can use too. You have some cards that you can get that say, I think you'd love my church. And you can hand those to your friends or leave them on tables at the restaurant. Just make sure that you're sharing the love of Jesus and letting people know that they have a safe place to come to encounter God, okay? So everybody invite somebody to church next week. After service, we do have a guest reception. For those of you who raised your hand, we want to get to know you. Our leaders, some of the leaders and pastoral staff will be in the guest reception room after service on that side of the building. So please make your way over there so that we can meet you and learn about you and get connected. We have a couple of announcements, things that are going on. Tonight is Awaken Monthly. Can I get a shout out from everybody? Anybody that is 18 to 30 years old, we invite you. This is a young adult service and time of fun and fellowship, and they're doing a cookout. And it's going to be an amazingly beautiful day, so it's perfect for a cookout. So come on out to His Tabernacle here at the Horse Heads campus at 6 o'clock tonight and make some new friends and have great fellowship and a word from God and just get built up and grow in Jesus with our young adults. How many know that Uproar Conference is in 2 weeks? We are less than 2 weeks away from this just monumental movement that has been birthed and is growing right here in Elmira, New York. Uproar Conference is at the First Arena. It takes a lot of people to put this conference on. If you have not yet signed up to serve at Uproar Conference, we want you to do that. We want to encourage you. We have an amazing time. And there's nothing like seeing thousands of teenagers with their hands lifted in worship to our Lord. So we want you to help facilitate that with us. Today, after second service, there's going to be a volunteer meeting. So step out after this, grab a cup of coffee, but come back around 12:30, 1 o'clock, and stick around to find out how you can be involved to help Uproar Conference come to pass this year. And another opportunity that we have that you can serve, if you're available on Tuesday afternoons, we have an amazing program. We call it the Parks Program. And we go out into local parks in the community, and we share Jesus, we share food, we share items that people need, and we are a blessing in our community. And we could use a few extra hands on Tuesdays to help that come to pass. So if you are available, we would love for you to join us on Tuesday afternoons at Grove Park at 11 a.m. You want to write that down. Grove Park in Elmira, 11 a.m. All you have to do is show up. Look for the leader in charge, and they'll give you something to do, and you can hang out with people and just be a blessing to our community. So thanks, everybody, for being here. Thanks for serving in the kingdom, and I'm going to pass the mic to Pastor Obi for our times of tithes and offerings.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? The Bible declares that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So I need y'all to be glad. Amen. So who is excited to be here? The Bible also says, let us go into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. So we are excited. We are happy to be here. We give praise as we walk into the doors. Amen. We give praise as we get to hang out with one another. We gave some praise during praise and worship. Amen. We're going to give some praise during the word because we know that the word, it is powerful. It has been prepared for you. It has been studied. It has been approved. It is going to change your life. So everything that we're doing today, it is a day full of joy. But in addition, there is also joy in my giving. Woo, all three of y'all. Thank you for the prayer team hanging out there with me. I have joy when I give. And can I tell you why? I'm going to give you the punchline. I'm going to give you this line. Then we're going to get into the text, okay? Turn to the person next to you and say, neighbor, my uncommon gift will force God to do the unimaginable. If I do the uncommon, God will do the unimaginable. See, in 1 Kings chapter 17, we have a story about Elijah and this widow. And God tells Elijah to go to this woman's house. He is a traveling prophet. He gets to her house and he says, can I have something to drink? She says, of course. And no, he says, well, can I have a little bit to eat? And she says, honestly, I have no bread in my house. I just have just a little bit of flour left. And in fact, we are so broke. We are so poor. We have such little that I was actually preparing to make this last bit of food for me and my child. We were going to eat it. We're then going to just wait and to die. And what is so interesting about that is that sometimes that is the approach that we take to when it comes time to give, that we feel as if this may be the last time possible, that I am so afraid. There is so much fear when it comes to this. There is no need for fear when it comes to giving. It is still part of my worship. It is still joyful. And as I just told you, if you do something uncommon, God will do the unimaginable. It is ridiculous for this woman to say, I have one meal left, and if I give it to this man of God, I'm going to starve and I'm going to die even sooner than I thought. I'm here and I think that I have one meal left and that's it. It would be uncommon for her to go and make this food for somebody else that's not in her household for her to go and die early. But let me tell you what the story says. The prophet says, do not fear. Say, do not fear. Say, do not fear. He says, do not fear if you will go and do this uncommon thing. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 14. For the Lord your God says, if you are obedient to this, the bin of flour shall never be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the Lord sends rain on this earth. Let me translate that for you. If you would do the uncommon, you will never go broke in your life. If you do the uncommon, your bank account will never dry up. If you do the uncommon, you will never again be passed over at your job. If you do the uncommon, every prayer that you have lifted up to God, not only will my God answer it, he will do the unimaginable. Why? Because I serve a God of seed time and harvest. And this morning, I believe he's asking for an uncommon seed so he can give you an unimaginable harvest. And the Bible ends on to saying, as she was obedient, her son, and her entire household, they ate and they ate and they ate and they ate and they ate, and the food never ran out. And then the Bible says, the bin of flour was never used up, nor did the oil ever run dry. This is scripture. This is not my opinion. This is the word of God. That if you would do the uncommon today, God would do the unimaginable. I believe that today we can give not out of fear, not out of pressure, but in response to God's promise that he's calling us to do the uncommon today and watch an unimaginable harvest hit your life where things will never run dry again, things will never dry up. And you will come back next week with even more joy to give. You will come back next week to even more joy to sow. Because we understand it's not about giving to a man. It's about saying, God, I know you are a God of your word. So here's something uncommon for you to take and do something unimaginable in my life. So if you are ready to give something uncommon and see God replace it with something unimaginable, I want you to stand up to your feet with some joy. Stand up to your feet with some praise. I believe you're about to walk out of here like this widow that said, I walked in one way, but I'm about to walk out with something never running dry again, something never running out. Are you ready? Are you ready? So put your phones up in the air if you're doing text to give. Put your envelopes up in the air if you're doing check or credit card or cash. And let's say this with some faith behind it. Let's say this knowing that we serve a God of seed time and harvest. Let's say this like we believe the word, that if it's uncommon, he will do the unimaginable. Are you ready? Repeat after me. Say, if I obey, then I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The uncommon blessings are chasing me down. The unimaginable is tripping me up. Because I'm a child of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Now we can believe that. Shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on, one more time. I'm blessed. Amen, amen. You can come out of your seats and come down to the front to receive the offering. If you're watching online, you can also join us in this time of joyous giving. Just on your screen, click the give button. You can either give by credit card, you can do text to give. And we believe that with your uncommon giving today, God will bring into your life an unimaginable harvest.
this morning? Awesome. I'm going to move this up a little bit. I like being closer to you guys. Well, as you can tell, our pastor, Pastor Michael Spencer, is out of town this morning. He's actually preaching at one of our other churches we help oversee, all the way like almost in the North Pole. It is wild how high up they are in Canada right now. But they're having a great time. That church is absolutely exploding. I think they launched their building like 6 months ago. And they're already too big for where they're meeting, looking for another place. In 6 months, I believe they're hitting like 100 people every single Sunday. It's amazing to see. Look, Mansfield, I think they hit 100 last week. Pastor Obi was there. Mansfield was at 100 people last week. Ithaca, you know how crazy this is? Ithaca is almost a little over 1 year into their launch, and they're averaging 160 people every single Sunday. I say those things because, yes, numbers do matter, because they're souls that have an eternity. And I love that as the body of Christ, we get to impact those souls. And we're running after a vision. We love our pastor, but we love what God has laid in front of us for vision. And that's what we're chasing after. And if you don't know the vision here at His Tabernacle, if you want to be more involved, I'd really encourage you to go to Growth Track. Starting 9:30 every single Sunday morning over on this side. And I promise you, you will grow, you will know the vision, and you will run with us, because it's better when we're all together. This morning, I have prepared a message. I was praying and reading, which I do all the time, every day, a couple months ago, and the Lord just really made this stick out to me, and I wanted to share it with you this morning. And I would encourage you today to be a person who takes notes, because your notes never forget. Your notes don't. They don't just forget what you wrote down. They're always there. They're always there to look back. And honestly, I know for me, sometimes I'll get caught in my phone and I don't remember a blessed thing that happened in that service. Anybody else willing to tell on themselves? All right. I'll pray for you at the end for lying to me. But I know when I'm focused on the notes, when I'm focused on what's happening, it can actually hit my heart and not just say, well, I went to church today, and we can move on. Let's pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word that changes our hearts and our lives so we can never be the same again. We can look more like you. We can do what we've been called to do. And we can live in all that you've prepared for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hey, guys. So I like food, and I really love fruit. And I have an apple here for you. And I really wanted to be able to show this to you, and we've all seen apple seeds. They're the worst part of the apple because they're so good and delicious and juicy. But if I were to cut, which I just did, 3 seeds out of this apple, and one fell, there's a Bible verse about that. That was bad ground it just fell on. If I were to plant those 3 seeds that all came from the same apple, what would determine how far they'd excel in their production of fruit? All from the same apple, all from the same lineage, all the same. The only thing that would create a difference in what they were able to produce is where they were planted. See, they all have the same seed, it's from the same apple, there's still a great plan that they would be an apple tree, and the only difference between the 3 seeds is where they end up being planted is determining how far they will grow and what they'll do. The reality is, if we are seeds of Christ, if we are sons and daughters of God, how far we go, how much we grow is determined by this simple fact. You ready? Where we decide to be planted. Amen? Amen. And I believe that God has great plans and great intentions for all of us. His plans and intents aren't for us to be destroyed, aren't for us to be downtrodden, aren't for us to be beaten down. But he's got plans for us to prosper, plans for us to have success, plans for us to do mighty things in his kingdom. So why sometimes do we not see these things? So if you're taking notes, if you have your Bible, you go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It says this: Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Here's the key. Here's what I want you to hear right now. Ready? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does, shall prosper. Look, God's intent and plan for your life, for my life, for every believer, everyone who's alive, is that we would be planted in a place that would make it so our leaf would not wither, that we would produce fruit every single season, and whatever we do, ready, shall prosper. Anybody, that sounds good to me. I want to be in on that. I want to be a part of that. I want that in my life. But why is it that sometimes we don't actually see this? Why is it sometimes people can come to church, they can go through the motions, they can come, and they never see the production of this, and it's frustrating. Why is it? See, when I was reading this text, I felt the Lord say to me, he said this. He said, some people are planted just close enough that they won't die, but too far away that they can actually flourish. Think about this. We've all seen rivers. We're from upstate New York. We've seen rivers. We've seen trees. How many times have we noticed that the tree right in the greatest place, closest to the river, is probably the biggest, has the most fruit, is the best looking because it can draw the greatest nutrition? And then there's other trees that are the same type of tree that are planted, but they're just not really thriving. See, the reality is, it's not just that we're planted, but it's where we're planted, in proximity to the river, that determines what we can draw from and what we can accomplish in this life. See, I'm scared, and what I really think and what I believe is there's a lot of people who are planted just close enough to the riverbank so they can still feel alive, but too far away to actually see great production in their life. And I don't want that for you. I know God doesn't want that for you, and you don't want that for your own life as well. See, we choose where to plant because we believe that where we are planted and what we do in our life will give us the greatest personal benefit. Where we decide to be is us saying, I'm determining this will give me the greatest personal benefit. So sometimes we'll decide that the greatest personal benefit isn't going to church on Sunday, but it's going to that baseball game. Sometimes we decide our greatest personal benefit isn't being obedient in our giving, but it's withholding things and paying NYSEG. Sometimes we believe that what we are currently doing will give a greater benefit than what the Lord is saying he'll give us. And really, whatever's off limits to God determines how far or how close we are planted on those banks and on that river. See, I would only bring this up because I care about you. Because I want to see your life what God has determined it to be. I want to see your life to be successful in every season, in every way, to be prosperous in all that you do. And I want to bring up this concern that sometimes maybe we're planted just close enough to not die, but far too far away to actually thrive. God's intention is not for you to only survive. It's to thrive in what he set forward. And whatever we determine is off limits or more important to God determines how close we can actually get to what he has for us. See, there's people I've seen that they flirt with Christianity. They flirt with Jesus. They'll come to church and they'll worship, but they're out doing the same thing that they were before they came. They like the idea of it. We like the idea of coming to church and feeling secure in our eternity, but how close are we? We like the idea of feeling saved on a Sunday or a Tuesday, but we almost, if we were to be honest with ourselves, sometimes you might feel like, well, I'm almost saved. I'm close, but I'm not there yet. Man, sometimes we get so close, but we're still far enough away because we're scared of what other people will say, what other people will do. So we'll be a chameleon to our surroundings. When I'm at work, I'll cuss like them. When I'm hanging out with my friends, I'll joke like them and I'll do what they do. But when I'm at church, I'm the greatest worshiper. See, that's not actually being planted. That's being a chameleon. So what happens to those kind of people when what Mark 4 says, it talks about soils. And there's four types of soils in Mark chapter 4. And the first type of soil is a hard soil that our poor apple seed fell on earlier, which is too hard and it's plucked out and the gospel can't actually grow in their hearts. The second soil is stony. And the Bible says because it's stony, when the sun beats down, This is pretty interesting. Because they didn't have enough roots to grow down deep and survive the sun beating down on them, that's when they die. That's when they pass away. And those kind of people who are close enough but still too far, what happens if persecution comes? What happens when an issue comes? What happens? And I'm scared, and what I've seen is that when people who aren't actually completely sold out to Christ are close enough to feel good but too far to thrive, what happens is when persecution comes, when hard times come, when things come that are uncomfortable, just like Mark chapter 4 in the second soil, their walk with Christ shrivels up and dies because they didn't have a deep enough root. They weren't close enough to thrive in what Jesus had. See, the question isn't how close can I get to how close can I be right here to the river, but to the things of the world and still go to heaven. It's not how close can I get to God and sin at the same time. That will never bring great success in our walk with Christ. It's how close can I get to Jesus? How close can I turn my back on everything else in the world and get to Jesus? How can I get to this place? The sad part is by living close enough to the river, but far enough from the river so we don't actually produce fruit, is we believe we're producing things that truly matter and things that we need. See, people don't just go to the bar to go to the bar. They go for acceptance and joy and peace. People don't just have fill in the blank. They don't just have that website. They don't just have that drink. They don't just have that attitude. They don't just have that disobedience. To have it, we harbor those things because we believe it's going to produce something that we desire. And the truth is, we can't sit at two tables at the same time. Corinthians says this. It says, how can you sit at two tables at the same time? How can you drink from two cups at the same time? Therefore, you can't drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of the world, the cup of the devil at the same time. You have to pick where you sit. You can't be in the middle divided and believe that God's going to give great production and the enemy's going to give great production. It's not like, well, I get love from here and I get peace from Jesus. Well, I get joy from going out, but I get happiness from the Lord. No, that's not how it is. Everything we need in this life, we get from Jesus. It's not a split custody. It's not a difference. What it is all in with Jesus gives us all that we actually desire. Amen? Amen? Like, well, he's not being very nice today. Look, and then what happens is they get mad at God. Well, God never did that for me, so I'm not going to that church. Man, you never let God do it. You're sitting here saying, well, I like this from over here, and I like this from here, and I like this for here. Man, if your wife was like, well, I really like you for how you take me on dates, but I love him for how he kisses me. No one's going to stand for that. But yo, then he can pay the mortgage, he can take you on dates, he can put up with your attitude when you got it, he can have you then. Why do we think that the Lord's different? All right, I don't want to be mean all day. Jesus came to give you life, ready? And life more abundantly. John 10:10. The thief, he comes to steal and to kill and destroy. What he will put into your life is things that are almost right, almost good, but it's fraudulent. See, I'm not impressed by a fake Rolex. I think a real Rolex is way better. But what we do often is we'll go to New York City, we'll buy that Rolex from the guy who's like, yo, come over here, I got $10. You think you got a real Rolex for $10? Come on, you're smarter than that. I got you, come over here in the corner. Looking around like you're not the cops, right? We don't like fake things, but that's all the devil will give us, is things that are fake and fraudulent. We're like, yo, you're dumb. It's not a real Rolex. Yeah, also it's not real peace. Also it's not real joy. It's not real love. It's not real happiness. It's not real prosperity. It's not real if it's not from God. It's not real if it's not from God. He came to give you life and life more abundantly, and there's a thief that's come to steal and to kill and to destroy, and he does it through fake things. He does it through things that look good and feel good, but end up trapping you in the long run, and I don't want to see you trapped. I want to see you run towards the things of Jesus. See, there was a place in, I believe it was in Mississippi, there was a town called Rodney. It's an interesting place, weird town name. Actually, I guess we can't say anything about weird town names. We live in Horseheads. But Rodney in Mississippi was a really interesting place. At its height, they were 3 votes away from being, check this out, the state capital. This was a fishing village, a marina village, and they were about a mile up the Gulf. And what would happen is they exploded with revenue. They exploded with people living there because they were right up the river about a mile. The port was there. It was so easy. They had all the money, all the resources coming in. And what they decided to do, since they were growing at an explosive rate, they were only 3 votes away from being the state capital, is they actually went upstream a little bit, and they built a small dam so that they could do construction and build so they could accommodate all of the growth that was happening in their town. That's awesome, right? Because of the huge reconstruction, a ridge of sand was put in the dam, was made into a dam, so they didn't have to worry about what they were building being destroyed. See, sometimes we think in order to have growth in our lives, we need to put some part of our relationship with Jesus on hold. Look, if it's true growth in what God has for you, there's no pause in what God is doing in your life with his relationship. There's no sacrifice you'll need to make in the kingdom. If it's really from God, you don't have to step back from what he has for you in relationship. You actually step farther into those things with relationship. See, sometimes, and it goes like this. You're like, well, I don't really understand. It's like, well, I'll go to the office a little bit early. I'll just cut down my Bible time. Okay, build that dam. I can miss 2 times a month for a year. It won't be like this forever. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to small group. I can skip 2 times a month. I'm still connected. I'll still do this. I'll still grow. It's okay. I need to expand what I'm doing right here. I feel like it's time to explode. I'll skip my group for the summer. It's only 1 sports season. It's okay. My kids will understand. We'll go back in the fall. And we think that we're having personal expansion. We think that because our 401k is growing, we think that because these natural things are growing, that there's actual growth, but something happens upstream when a dam is built. See, we can label these things as distractions in the third soil in Mark chapter 4, verse 7. It says, and some of these seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out and yielded no crop. If you skip down to verse 18, Jesus gave a clearer description of what he was talking about. So now these are the ones sown among the thorns. So they're the ones that hear the word, that's us, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, entering in, choke out the word, and become unfruitful. Luke 8, verse 14. Is a parallel to the scripture. It says, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. So what this is talking about is a seed that was planted and started to grow in good soil. This soil is a representation of our heart. It's not really talking about dirt. It's talking about the position of our heart. He said, the word of God was planted in these people's heart, and it started to grow, but it was sown amongst thorns, and thorns can be described as distractions, and these distractions, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, all of these things, what they did, the pleasures of life, what they did is as the word grew, they also grew, and as they grew, they eventually grew enough to choke out all that God was doing inside of that heart. Never allowing the fruit to come to full maturity. See, that's one of the saddest positions because you can see the fruit, you can feel the fruit, you can smell the fruit, but you can never taste the fruit. How frustrating would it be to have almost all of what God has for you, but then it's snuffed out right before your eyes? And it's because there's a competition inside of the heart for the things of God and the things of the world. And if we don't remove the things of the world from our heart, then what happens is it chokes out the things of God and never allows them to come to full maturity. And we have to restart every single season. How many times have we heard a message like this and we restart and we restart and then we recognize, oh my gosh, I've gone so far, and we restart and then we get caught up again and we restart and we restart and we restart. The reality is we have to remove those thorns, the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures of the world, the cares of the world, and then we can have the full maturity by being planted right next to the river and actually seeing the fruit come and remain. And that's really what it is. See, God's not interested in competing for your heart. We have to decide who has it. Man, we live in a world of so many distractions. You don't believe me? Check your screen time. I don't know if Netflix says how much time you've been on it, but that's also a scary thing to think about. When distractions are there, man, those thorns can enter. Those thorns will choke it out. Who watched The Jungle Book? Anybody? Who's got kids or is a little bit like... I feel like it came out when I was kind of a kid, so maybe some of you missed it. But what happened in The Jungle Book is really interesting. Mowgli is running away from the evil lion, I think it was. I don't know. Tiger. Shakira. Thank you. Dustin was running away from Shakira. And Mowgli, my man Mowgli is like jumping over trees, and he's out. And he's running, and he gets to this very dark, gloomy place of the forest. And as he's in this dark, gloomy place of the forest, these two eyes poke out. And he hears a voice. He's like, what are you running from? It's a calming voice. Are you scared? Everything will be okay. I'll help you. I'll save you. I'll protect you. And he's staring this thing in the eyes and comes down, and there's this giant snake that can protect him. He's saying all the right things. Looks, saying all the things that you'd want to hear if you were scared and you didn't know the direction to go. And it's mesmerizing to Mowgli. But before Mowgli recognized it, as he was looking the distraction in the eyes, the distraction had come around the backside and wrapped him up enough to kill him and choke him out. That's how distractions work. That's how the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasure of life, the cares of the world work. They look good as you look them in the eyes, but on the backside, they're wrapping us up, choking out what God is trying to do, choking out real life, choking out the things that God is trying to put in your heart. They're not worth it because they don't actually produce what God is trying to do in our hearts. In the town of Rodney, remember, they were expanding so much. And really, we look at the distractions because we're trying to expand. We're trying to expand our joy. Trying to expand our 401k. We're trying to expand our comfort, our peace. We're trying to expand these things. And when we build dams in the way of what God is doing to bring us there, then eventually the river moves. You want to know what happened to the town of Rodney? Because they had built this giant sandbar, they never went to check it. Man, how many times do you check your heart for distractions? They never went to check the dam. They were damned by distractions. But they got there. No, I'm serious. They got to the river, and they recognized not only was it damned, not bringing the life that was once there, but it had moved 2 miles to the west, no longer bringing life there. Because they refused to check what was blocking the flow that brought them life to begin with. I don't want to see you end up like the town of Rodney. I don't want to see you so caught up in the distractions of the world, forgetting to go and check your heart that you, before you recognize it, the river's gone. Because it wasn't allowed to flow free. If they had only moved the blockage, the river would have never moved. And the river will dwindle when the blockage is in the way. The only thing that would have had to happen is for one moment, one man or woman to walk up the river, say, hey, it's moving. We should do something about it. But oftentimes when we're worrying about expansion, we don't really check what brought us to the first place. We get caught up with the nice things that it says and the promises that it's given us, but its promises are moving what really gives us life. Here's what I want you to do real quick. I'm the youth pastor here, so I do a lot of like teenager stuff, and hey, you're stuck with me, so here we are. If you're taking notes, if you have your phone, I see some faces down. Will you real quick just open up your notes and give yourself a place to write? I want you to write out what might be damming up your life. Take a moment real quick. A little self-reflection. I think it's valuable. What might be damming it up for you? And it's not bad things. I'll tell you right now, 95% of the time, it's not a bad thing that's damming up your life. What it is the pleasures of life. It's the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things than Christ. Go ahead and write that thing out. I don't know what it is. Most of the time, they're not bad. They're just not God. And after you've written that out, here's the reality I need you to know. Every single dam is movable. Every single dam is movable. It doesn't matter how long you've been building that thing. Doesn't matter how long you've been building that offense in your heart. Doesn't matter how long you've been building your kingdom instead of God's kingdom. It doesn't matter how long it's been there. All it takes is one moment by the power of Jesus to destroy what's been being built. And once that's destroyed, I promise, you can have what you've actually been looking for. And here's the reality. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 gave us the key on how to see those dams removed and how to remain in the life and right next to the river. Because I know you don't come to church just to feel good, but not actually have something in your life. We come to church because we want more of Jesus. We want more of what he's promised. We want more of what he's said about our lives. And in order to do that, we need to do what the Bible has taught us to do. Psalm chapter 1 verse 2, it gives us the key. It says, but his delight or her delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Ready? If you recognize that there's a dam in your life, first we're going to commit that thing to the Lord. Because if we're unwilling to give it to Jesus, then that's actually the Lord of our heart. Look, if he's not the Lord of our whole life, he's not the Lord at all in our life. And when we commit that thing to the Lord, our next commitment is simple. I'm getting back to what he has for me. And when we delight in the law and meditate on what he's spoken to us and written to us day and night, then we can actually be planted right next to the river. So we can have fruit every season. That when it's hot, it doesn't matter how hot it is. It doesn't matter what happens to everybody else. What happens to us is our leaf will not wither, and we will produce fruit every single season. That's what happens to those who delight in the Lord and meditate in the law every single day. Also, I love this. It says, Joshua chapter 1, this is such an amazing key. Joshua 1 verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according all that is written in it. For then, look at that point. When we talk about it, think about it, and live it, and then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. The word prosperous is really cool. It means to act intelligently. Look, when we talk about the word, think about the word, and we live the word, the Bible says we act intelligently. And the word prosperous means to advance. If you want to advance in the things of God, we need to talk about the things of God, think about the things of God, and live the things of God. Then we'll act intelligently, and then we'll advance. See, what happens is when we're just close enough to feel good, but too far away to actually have fruit, is we don't actually advance. Because we're just getting enough to survive, but not enough to actually live. But when we're planted on that bank, when we're thinking about, talking about, living the Word of God, then we act intelligently. Then we have good success. Then we advance in the things of God. And I know that's what you want in your life. I know that's what we want in your life. One of the mantras here at His Tabernacle Family Church is our success is to make you successful. And the place we want to see you most successful is in your walk with Jesus. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. There's another parallel verse in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 12. says this. It says, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their waters flow from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. You realize when we make a commitment and a decision to not be planted in the middle, sitting at two tables drinking from two cups, we can actually have what our heart desires. Look, we need to be planted in the Word. Planted in our Bibles. You need to be reading your Bible every single day. It's really easy. Ready? Read. If you need help, if you don't understand your Bible, because that's a lot of people, look, go buy a version you understand. You don't have to read the King James. It's okay. You have permission to not read the King James version. I don't either. Go get a version you understand. If you don't know what in God's name it's talking about, ask pastor. Ask your small group leader. Someone will help you. You need to be planted in your Word every single day. You just heard pastor preach. Faith comes by hearing, but hearing what? The Word of God. If we're not hearing the Word of God, how can we be planted? We need to be planted in prayer. You need to be planted in this house. You need to be planted in community. You need to be planted in giving. Guess what? You need to be planted in action. A lot of people talk about the kingdom but don't live kingdom. Planted in action. We need to be planted in the love of the Lord. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, it says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, ready, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We want to see you full of the fullness of God. You want to see you full of the fullness of God. And the reality is, when we're planted, here's what we got to do. We got to protect ourselves. Look, we protect ourselves against so many things. We protect ourselves against GMOs. We protect ourselves against the sun. We protect ourselves against our engines being destroyed by changing our oil sometimes. We protect ourselves against so many things. But why don't we guard our lives against distractions? 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In order to remain planted, in order to remain living, in order to remain having fruit in every season, in order to remain prosperous in all of our ways, we have to remain undistracted. Willing to protect and guard our heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23, I believe it says, above all else, guard your heart because it determines the course of our life. Look, if we guard our heart against the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of the world, the pleasures of life, the love for other things, then what happens is we remain planted on that river bank, and we don't have to be one of the seeds that grows and dies when the sun hits it. We don't have to be a seed that's plucked out. We don't have to be a seed that grows up with thorny things, that's choked out over time, never seeing what God actually has for us. We can be one that's planted, that's prosperous in all of our ways, seeing an increase in all that God has called us to do, all that God has called us to be, and we can move forward in our personal relationship with Jesus. And that's the key. That's the goal, is to be planted not too far, and that way we only get enough to live, but not enough to thrive, but planted, thinking on the Word, speaking the Word, living the Word, so we can have success and remain successful and have all that God has promised. Amen. That's the key. That's the heart. That's what we're shooting for. And it's sad to me. I see so many people, they come and, man, God has more for you. We try to drink from two cups at the same time. I gave an example in youth group. I was preaching that. I was like, you can't drink from two cups at the same time. And I had someone come up and I was like, drink from the two cups. And he like nailed it perfect. I was like, good job. You ruined it, Aiden. Look, I can barely drink from one cup without spilling down myself. I don't know how he did it. But we can't draw from the things of the world and the things of God at the same time and expect the things of God. It's colliding kingdoms. What we do is we damn ourselves by distractions. And then we don't see what God has promised, and then we blame God. But we were riding a fence the whole time, picking from two trees. Not how it works. And God has greater for you. Maybe no one told you. Maybe no one told you that God has greater than that. Maybe you've never tried it. Maybe you've been scared. Maybe that's all you've ever known. I guess my question, if that's all you've ever known was the things of the world, then I have to ask you, clearly you're not happy with it. That's why you're at church. You're looking for more. What would it look like if you gave 6 months of your life all in with Jesus to never touch that tree, to never drink from that cup, to never sit at that table for the next 6 months? What would it look like? What do you have to lose? You've given 20, 30, 40 years to that. What would be giving 6 months to Jesus? Why not? Because our heart, our success here is to make you successful in the things of Christ. It's to see you prosperous. Our job is to equip you, bring you maturity, and bring you to unity. And when we do that, I know that God is going to move in your life exactly what you've been looking for. See, I know a lot of people, maybe sitting here, you're like, man, I've built such a big dam in my life. I don't know if Jesus could ever really forgive me. I don't know if it could be moved. It can. He defeated what was a grave eternity and came back with the keys of sin and death. Don't worry, your dam isn't too big. And here's the other scary thing. A lot of people are like, oh, it's little for me. It's little. Why would you want to dam up anything that God is trying to do in your life? It doesn't matter how big or how small it is. He wants a fullness of freedom. John 8, 31 and 32 says it like this. It says that if we abide in the word, then truly we're his disciples and we'll know the truth and the truth will make us free. I want to see a people that's free, without chains, without anything holding us back, with no stumbling block in front of us, so we can run forward in all that Jesus has for us. And when we can do that, then you can actually have what you're looking for. So maybe today, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I have a couple questions for you. Maybe you're sitting here and you say, man, I don't know. I feel like I have that thorny heart where I'm easily distracted from the things of God. I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm here to help you run with freedom. Maybe you never even noticed you had a dam. Today's the day to remove it. Today, if you've never given your life to Jesus before, how would you know that? You'd know. There was a moment where you decided in your heart and you spoke with your mouth that you were going to give your life to Jesus. But as I was preaching, you recognize, you know what? I've been trying to get things from the world, and I realized that today I can't get those things from the world. It's not giving me what I've been looking for. There's hundreds of people in this room right now who've already found that freedom. Jesus is after your heart. Today, if you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. Because it's not just as a Savior so you can go to heaven. It's so that you can not only go to heaven, but heaven can get into you. So that we can not just have a Savior, but a Lord. So that our sins can be washed away. Because there are wages of sin, and that's eternity separate from God called death. And we've all sinned. We've all fallen short at one point in one moment. But the gift of God is eternal life. Today, I'm asking you, stop going to that other well. Stop going to that other table. Stop going to that other tree. Stop going to that other cup. And will you make a commitment to come to Christ? Because inside of Jesus is what you've actually been looking for. Today, if that's you and you say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus for the first time, we just go ahead and raise your hand up real quick. We want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe it's this, Maybe you know you've walked away and your relationship isn't where it would be, need to be. And you don't know where you'd spend your eternity. If that's you, will you raise your hand out? We want to pray with you. Amen. Amen. We want to give you a Bible. Amen. Amen. Can we all stand to our feet real quick as you put your hands together for that man? Amen. Hey, here's what we're going to do. There's a really pretty lady with a red dress. She's also my wife. She wants to pray with you because we believe that prayer is the seal of this. Also, we want to give you a Bible. We want to teach you how to do this. So today, if you raise your hand as we clap for you, we go ahead, and maybe if you knew you needed to raise your hand, will you clap your hand as you make your way right up front? You can grab the person next to you. We want to pray with you. We want to give you a Bible. It's the best decision you could ever make right here, right now. Amen. Ready? Christian, here's my question for you. Is there a dam in the way? Is there a distraction? Because if you're living in a distraction, God's not going to compete for your heart. You got to decide. And when we make a decision that the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, the love for the things of the world, when those, no, I don't care about those things. When that dam is gone, then we can flourish and we can be prosperous in all of our ways. Today, with your head bowed, real quick, I'm not going to make you raise your hand, but if you wrote down one of those dams, would you be willing to give it to Jesus? Seriously. I can't imagine what this place would look like if you would all give your dam to Jesus. It would be amazing. And your life would be amazing. Today, if you're ready to get rid of that dam, here's what I'm going to do. As I'm a commitment kind of guy, I'm not going to have you raise your hand. But I'm going to ask you right now, if you're saying, you know what, I got a dam and it's gone today, I'm going to give it to the Lord. I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat, make a commitment at the altar right now to get the dam out of the way. Go ahead, come on. There's people coming already saying, you know what, I'm done with the dam. I want Jesus. I'm done with the distractions. That's not what I want. That's not what I desire. Come on. And this isn't to shame anybody. This is so we can say, I make a commitment to Jesus. This is a commitment to the Lord that the distractions are gone. I'm here for you. I'm here so I can see all of these ways prosperous so there can be advancing in what you have for me. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together real quick before we leave. If you're at the front, man, I want you to pray. I want you to make a commitment to Jesus. Here it is. I'm done with it. I lay it down to you, and we're going to worship a little bit too. Ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this house would be a house that's full of people that would be like trees planted by the banks. That would bring forth fruit in the right season. That our leaves would not wither, and whatever we do will prosper. So, Father, let our delight be in you. Let our delight be in your law. Let us meditate on you day and night and live out what you would have for us so that we can act intelligently according to your word and we can advance in everything that you have for us. No distraction, Lord. Build in our hearts a defense against all distractions. So we can run without weight, we can run without worry, and we can accomplish everything you have in front of us. In the mighty name of Jesus, if that's for you, can you shout a mighty amen? Amen. Amen. Hey, we love you guys. We'd love to see you at Growth Track next Sunday or one of the Next Steps classes. If you're at the front, I just want to encourage you. We're going to worship, and I want you to pray real quick and make that commitment to Jesus that today is the day. It's the last moment, and it's a marked moment in your life for freedom forever. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great day. If you're a guest, we'd love to see you right over on this side for guest reception and just get to meet you, know you, and answer any of your questions.